Everyone, a warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in, and we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we do pray that the Lord will be with us and that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house today. Actually, I'm going to start with something different today. We received an email just yesterday morning, which we'd like to read out to you here. It's entitled "To the Session, the Committee and the Congregation of 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church." It's from the Reverend Thomas Martin, who you know was with us during the last week. He writes to us and he says, "Dear brethren, greetings in the precious and the all-prevailing name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a note to thank you for your very kind invitation to conduct your week of believers' meetings. It was a joy and a privilege to fellowship with you around the word of the Lord. I trust the word was a blessing to you personally, and that the Lord will continue to use his word to help and encourage you in Christ's glad service. I would like to place on record how much it meant to me as a resident preacher to see the commitment of the congregation in their attendance at the meetings. I trust the word, or it was humbling to witness folks returning night by night to hear the word of God. I trust the word was and will continue to be a blessing to you all. The meetings will live long in my memory, and I will continue to pray for you and your minister as you seek to serve the Lord in the kingdom of his dear Son. I have to say on a personal level how blessed I was during the meetings, and the Saviour has greatly encouraged my heart. So thank you very much indeed, and many thanks also for your generous gift you gave me on leaving. It was much appreciated. I pray the Lord will bless and be with you as a congregation, and may be pleased to save, restore, and revive in these dark and difficult times. Once more, thank you for everything, your friend and servant in Christ, Thomas Martin, number 6, 24 to 26. So we do thank the Reverend Martin for coming. Certainly it was a blessed week in the house of the Lord here. Now, there was only one thing I disagreed with what he said the entire week, and that was on Friday night. He told you could have next week off. You can't have next week off, because the meetings continue, of course, in the house of the Lord here. We really appreciate, as he said, it was a real encouragement to see your attendance night by night and to see God's people coming together and sitting under the word and enjoying the word. Our brother preached almost an hour every single night. There wasn't a stir in the congregation. There was a hunger for the word of God, and that's certainly an encouraging thing. But we do remind you of the meetings as they continue, and we do look for you, even in this incoming week, to be here in your place. Do remember, the retiring offering for the building fund is throughout today, and if you have any gifts towards that, then please do leave them in. The evening service here at 7 p.m. in the church, with the season of prayer beforehand at 6:30, and we're looking tonight, and we're coming to the topic, the preacher who needed the gospel, the preacher who needed the gospel. So we do invite you and encourage you to come back this evening as well, and to come and hear God's precious word. Tomorrow night, the children's meeting will be on at 7 p.m. here in the church, and we do pray for that work. We do encourage you as well to pray for that work, that the Lord will bless it, and even through it, that those children will be brought to saving faith in Christ Jesus. Wednesday night, the prayer meeting and the Bible study continues at 8 p.m, and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And young people and older people alike, we're looking for you, men and women, gathering together to study God's word and to come around the throne of grace in prayer. Then on Friday evening at 8 p.m, the young peoples will be on here in the church. And young people, we do invite and encourage you to come along and to be part of that young people's meeting each Friday evening as it takes place. So this Friday night at 8 p.m, we're coming, continuing with the topics, and this week we're looking at relationships. Then next Sunday, the service is at the normal times of 10:30 in the morning for the Sabbath school. Then 11:30 and 7 p.m, the normal times of worship here. And do, of course, remember the place of prayer before both of those meetings. I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct both of the services next Sunday. As we mentioned the other night, we do mention again this morning that if you would like a copy of all of the CDs of the week of the Bible teaching meetings, maybe you'd like them as opposed to listening back on the internet, or maybe you'd like them even for your car, well, do mention either to Gareth or to Paul or to Stephen, some of the media team, and those will be done then for you and got to you as quickly as possible. And then this time of the year, there is a number of things to bring to your attention. And first of all, the new Let the Bible Speak calendars for 2022 have come to us. We have them at hand. If you'd like a copy, there's a list in the front porch. They're priced at £3.50 again this year. It's fantastic. They're able to keep it to this very reasonable price. And there's always a beautiful pictures throughout it for the year and the gospel verses as well. So do, if you like copies of them, do put your name on the list in the front porch. And then on behalf of the Reverend Stanley Barnes, if you tuned in to the memorial service and the Thanksgiving service the other week for Dr. Alan Cairns, you'll know that the Reverend Barnes introduced this book. It's a daily devotional book. Reverend Barnes was given the opportunity to go through the notes and some of the past messages of Dr. Cairns, and both he and Pastor Maxwell have put together this beautiful book, and it's been produced very, very well. And it's all of daily devotionals for an entire year. All the writings and the thoughts of Dr. Cairns are put together within it, and it's priced at £15. And it's a bargain, I think, personally. It's a beautiful book. It's a wonderful one to have. Maybe you like it for yourself or for someone else for Christmas time. Then, again, the list is in the front porch. I have a number of these copies at hand as well. If you like them, I can only announce them now for 2 weeks. Mr. Barnes has said already churches are phoning back saying we need more books. So if you want a copy of this or copies of it, then please, as quickly as you can over the next this week and next Sunday as well, please do put your name in the list in the front porch and we'll get them to you. Then just to remind you as well, continue to remember our Cookstown congregation in prayer. They're entering into their second week of gospel mission, that drive-in time. If you're free over this next week when there's no services here and you'd like to go along and support them, we do encourage you to go along to the Cookstown congregation and support our brethren there. Certainly it was an encouragement to see local churches to us coming and supporting even during our week of meetings. And if we can support, then we do encourage you to do that. So now we're going to come and we're going to sing our first item of praise this morning, 752. And then at the end of this hymn, can we ask you to remain standing as we observe our 2 minute silence? And then, of course, we'll have that poem or those words read out. We encourage you then just to repeat the final line afterwards together, and then we'll have a time of prayer. So 752, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. We'll stand as we sing, and then as I said, please remain standing afterwards. Thank you. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee, O God, this morning with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice in thy goodness and in thy mercy towards us as a nation. We thank thee for thy hand of preservation upon us up until this very point. We think back, O God, over the many years. We think back over the sacrifice of so many that left their homes, that left their families, that left their communities. They went off to that far field, O God, to fight in our behalf. We thank thee for the cause. We thank thee, O God, that we have even been preserved by thy graciousness. We thank thee for those that gave that sacrifice even in our behalf to preserve our freedom and our religious liberties. We thank thee, O God, that we have those cherished liberties to this day, and we do pray, O God, that thou wilt ever keep our liberties, that thou wilt watch over us in the days to come. O Father, the freedom which we enjoy, may we enjoy it in days to come. We do thank thee, O God, for those that have gave so much for us. We think of those, O God, that mourn even to this very day. We think of those, O God, that have been injured with life-changing injuries, and they suffer to this very day. Oh, that thou wilt watch over them, and that thou wilt put thy hand upon them and give them that grace that they need. We think of those that continue to serve our nation. We think of those in our army, in our navy, in our air force. We think of those, O God, even in our own land, in our police service, in the prison service. Lord, we think of those that have, O Lord, been under great trials in these days. Lord, watch over them. Keep thy hand upon them. Lord, we are so mindful of sacrifice at this time. But Lord, may we never forget the greatest sacrifice of all, when Christ gave himself for our sins. When he died the just for the unjust, that we might be reconciled to God. Father, we thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, bless us as we're gathered together this morning. We're conscious of our need of help afresh. We're conscious, O God, of thy presence. We pray that thou wilt tarry with us, that thou wilt, O God, prepare every heart to receive thy word, that thou wilt work in hearts in these days. Oh, that thou wilt draw men and women and boys and girls unto thyself. Remember our congregation. Remember our community. Oh, Father, we think of those homes that are going through great trials at this time. Lord, we think of those homes that are mourning today. Lord, those that death has come so suddenly to, the great shock that is there in homes and in families. Oh, Father, we pray that even through these awful times that men and women, boys and girls will find their comfort and that sustaining grace in Almighty God. Oh, that they will number their days, that they will turn to thee. Lord, comfort this community, we pray thee. Strengthen this congregation, we thank thee for this last week. Lord, we pray that it will have been an encouragement to each and to every one. Lord, that thou wilt bless us in these days, that thou wilt bless every family and every individual. Oh God, that thou wilt presence thyself with us. Hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read some verses now from the book of Romans and the chapter number 5. I'm going to leave our psalm reading till this evening meeting. And this morning I invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Romans in the chapter 5. We're going to commence reading at the verse 14, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Romans 5 and the verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We're going to sing another lovely hymn at this time, one I always enjoy to sing, especially at the time of remembrance. King of my life, I crown thee now, the hymn 657. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. 657, we'll stand again as we sing, please.
Now
Romans 5, I want to have open before us this morning, please. I want to leave with you that phrase at the end of verse 20. Romans 5 and the verse 20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want to speak to you this morning with the being remembered Sunday about the pilot who became a preacher. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing this morning. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee for those words that we've just been singing. Oh God, help us ever to have the cross before us. Help us ever to have Calvary in view. Lord, we do thank and praise thee for the grace of God. Lord, we thank and praise thee for the cost of that grace, that Christ died for our sins. Lord, we do rejoice this morning that that death was sufficient. That one death, that blood that was shed, is all that was needed to cleanse us from a multitude of sins. Oh, Father, we thank and praise thee this day that salvation is of the Lord. It's not anything to do with Adam's race. For, oh God, we all fall and all sin in Adam. But it's all to do with the second Adam. It's all to do with Christ. And Lord, even this day as we come to this topic on Remembrance Sunday, Lord, we pray that we will see the grace of God even today. And if there be one in our gathering that's never experienced the grace of God, oh, that this will be the day of their salvation. That this will be the day when they turn from sin and they turn to Calvary. Oh, hear and answer our prayers. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Settle us in thy presence, O God, even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder this morning, what is your understanding of saving grace? We read verses this morning, and of course we can turn to others that speak to us about the grace of God. We can turn to such passages as Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 5. It says, by grace ye are saved. We can move on down to think of Ephesians 2 in the verse 8, where it goes further and says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And we read verses this morning in Romans chapter 5 that speaks to us of that free gift. It is completely free to each and every one who will take it. Christ has paid the debt in full. Christ has paid the penalty in full. There is nothing left for you or I to pay. He pays it all. And then we simply have to take it. You know, each and every one of us who is saved by grace, that unmerited favor of God towards us. But I wonder this morning, I speak to both saved and to unsaved alike, I wonder this morning, do you put a limit on God's grace? Do you think to yourself, and you look around, and maybe you look at individuals, and maybe those in the community, or those in terms of the national setting, and you think to yourself, oh, those people, those individuals are beyond salvation. Such is their lifestyle, such is their actions, such are their words, that you come to the conclusion, no, they couldn't be saved. They're beyond salvation. Maybe I'm speaking to one this morning who isn't saved, and you believe yourself to be beyond salvation. There are many that at times will say, oh, preacher, if you knew the life I had, I couldn't be saved. I've too much baggage. I've too much history. I've too much past. I've too much that just is steeped within me in terms of sin that Christ surely couldn't save such an individual as I. I remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 11, after giving that list of individual sins and those types of sinner even within that great city of Corinth. And then he turned to them and he wrote to them and he says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. those from the depths of depravity in Corinth, those from the greatest and the worst and the vilest of sins in Corinth, now find themselves saved, washed, sanctified, and joined even to the church that was there. See, that power and the grace of God, which did such wonderful works and miracles of grace, the lives of the worst kind of sinners, that power is still available today. The grace of God is still as powerful today as it ever has been. I think of those wonderful words in the hymn, His love has no limit, and His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. But yet, sadly, so many of us limit God. So many of us say, oh God, you can only, if you could just save maybe just one. Or you look around and you think, well, there's the best out of a bad bunch. Lord, if you'd save that one. And you maybe look to those in other places and you think, no, Lord, I'll not even pray for them. Because they're beyond. What would you say today if I told you that God's grace saved a pilot and turned him into a preacher? What would you say today if I told you that that pilot was a bomber pilot? And he flew countless missions and dropped bombs without even a regard for human life during World War II. What would you do if I told you that that bomber pilot who dropped all of those bombs was actually a Japanese bomber pilot? What would you say if I told you that he was a lead bomber pilot for the Japanese on the 7th of December 1941 at Pearl Harbor? And God saved him. He was the first one to come to Pearl Harbor. He was the first one to open up the bomb doors. And he was the last one to leave. And God's grace saved him. You see, the text is clear, and I refer to you again those words of verse 20, where sin abounded. And you think of the sin of the Japanese, and you think of all of the wickedness during World War II, and all of the actions of those individuals, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's who I want to speak about this morning. Now, I learned Spanish and a bit of French at school. I learned a very little bit of Greek and a very, very little bit of Hebrew, as you saw the other evening when Mr. Morton asked what was the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Both ministers that were sitting down looked at each other and scratched their head. I know very little, but I guarantee this, I've never learnt Japanese. So if I am saying his name wrong today, I apologize, but I am not fluent in Japanese or even close. But this man's name was Michio Fushida. And he was a lead bomber pilot at Pearl Harbor. And God's grace saved him. Just want to speak about this man today and just highlight to you the grace of God that is there today and the saving grace that is still able to save. And I want to encourage the believers today, even through it, to keep on praying. As Mr. Martin brought it throughout this week, to keep on praying, to keep on inviting. God's grace is still powerful to get even those ropes around those that are plunged down into the mire of sin and to bring them savingly and lovingly up. God's grace can still do it. Four things I want to leave with you this morning. I want you to first of all think with me in terms of the path of Fushida. The path of Fushida. This man, Michio Fushida, was born in 1902 in a rural Japanese community. He was a third child of five, and he grew up in a home where his father not only was the school teacher, but he was also a nationalist. Now, if you know about the history of Japan, the early years of the 1900s, and right up until the Second World War, Japan was on a building program. Became very much that nationalist center where it built up its great empire, it strengthened up its military, it brought forth its ideology to its people. And Michio's father bought into it completely. He brought it into the family home. He taught his children about it, about the greatness of Japan, about the greatness of their emperor, about the greatness even in that area of the Pacific, that they had to stand up, they had to fight, they had to take on those islands and those nations around about them. Fushida grew up in a home and a community where there was absolutely no gospel. The national religion in Japan was Shinto. Shinto religion basically believes that everything contains deity. In other words, everything is divine. You're divine, I'm divine, the cows are divine, the trees are divine, everything has deity. That's the religion that they bought into. Not one gospel preacher. Not one gospel message. Not one gospel tract. Not one mention of Christ. Never in all of his early years, in all of his childhood, his teenage years, and up into adulthood, never once did he ever hear about the love of God. Never once did he ever hear about he was born in sin. Never once did he ever hear he was heading to a Christless eternity. He joined the Naval Academy in 1921, began flying in 23. And over time, he would rack up 10,000 flight hours in his plane. He was a very experienced pilot by the time it came to World War II. 1937, when Japan invaded China many times, he would bomb the Chinese without thought or without mercy. Whatever the ideology, whatever the commands came down the line, he just observed them and he respected them and he obeyed them regardless of the human cost to others. Regardless of the devastation, he just went about mercilessly and he just killed all around him. In 1941, he was married with two children. He wasn't a very good father or husband. He gave himself completely to the flying, and when he wasn't flying, he was drinking. He drank excessively, drank heavily. You see, to Fushida, life was completely evolved around two things: the empire and alcohol. That's all he was interested in. That's all life meant to him. He didn't care about his wife. He didn't care about his children. All he saw was his flying. All he saw was his military campaigns. And then after that, all he saw was the booze. To him, that's what life was all about. I wonder what your opinion today about life is. What do you see life to mean? What do you see the point of your life to be? As you look in these days and you look at all that's going on right across the world, and you look then to yourself individually and personally, and you think of your current setup and your current situation, whether you be in school, in the workplace, or whatever the case may be, what do you see the point of life to be? To Fushida, life was, as I said, it was all about the empire and it was all about drinking. What's life to you today? You see, the believer. And James, of course, he asked the question in his book, what is your life? And to the believer, we can answer with the words of Paul, and we can say, for me to live is Christ. In other words, I've given my life to Christ. I love my Savior. I will live for my Savior. I will serve my Savior. I will have that sweet relationship, that sweet communion with Him. I will read His Word. I will pray unto Him, and I will seek to serve Him. For me to live is Christ. But unsaved today, what's your life? What do you believe life to be? As you grow up, as you make your way through schooling and into the workplace, what do you see the purpose of your life being? For Sheeta, it was all about just furthering, climbing that ladder. As I said, by December of 1941, he was a squadron commander. He was a leader. And so there on the 7th of December 1941, that day of infamy, he was the man to lead the attack. He was the man that took in to Pearl Harbor. He was the one who called out over the radio 222, which meant attack, attack, attack. He was the one who sent back the message to the aircraft carrier fleet with those words, Tora, 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 which meant complete surprise, they had no idea we were coming. That day, of course, Pearl Harbor was an overwhelming victory for Japan. Many of the fleet of battleships destroyed. Many of the aircraft destroyed around the air bases near Pearl Harbor. And over 3,000 American personnel dead. Such was the involvement of Fashida that he was given the honour whenever he returned from the aircraft carrier. He was then flown back to Japan. And he was the man who was given the greatest honour of all. He was the one to go in before Emperor Hirohito and deliver the news. He was given the honour of appearing before his emperor and telling how successful the entire campaign had been. Everywhere he went in Japan, he was treated as a hero. Everywhere he went, people loved him, congratulated him. He was given the title Hitler because he molded himself, he shaped himself upon Hitler. He grew the little moustache, and because of his higher rank, even within the Japanese army and navy at that time, he was known as the Hitler of the Japanese. Everywhere he went, he thought, this is life. This is as good as it gets. I've climbed the ladder. I'm famous right across Japan. I've made it, and I'm right up there. And life, my, couldn't get any better. Now I think of Belshazzar. Remember in Daniel 5, Belshazzar becomes king. My, there at that time, it was all about the parties. It was all about gathering as many people around him as he could possibly do. It was all about the friends. It was all about the fame, the popularity. It was all about living life to the full. He had his parties. He had the wine and all of the drink. It was flowing. And even he brought out those vessels that had been carried from the temple. And he just didn't care about the things of God. He didn't care about the person of God. He didn't care about the word of God or the commands of God. It's all about life. It's all about pleasure, popularity. My, what an awful end Belshazzar had. Lived life in the fast lane until the hand of God appeared in the wall and stopped him in his tracks. You see, Fashida was there. He's living life in the fast lane. He continued even after returning to Japan. He then went back to the war fields once again. No desire for peace or even care or thought for his own life. He thought he was invincible. He bombed and destroyed a British base in Ceylon. He bombed Darwin in Northern Australia. You know, when I think of this man and as I looked into his history and into his life, I think of all that he was involved in. I wonder to myself, were there many during World War II that thought such an individual could be saved? I wonder to myself, if I was alive during the Second World War and I looked and I saw those pictures on the news and I saw those pictures coming back from Pearl Harbor and seeing all of the smoke and all of the destruction and the devastation and all of those ships sunk. I wonder what I have thought to myself, God can save those Japanese pilots. Even those that came with absolutely no warning and just destroyed so many individuals and took their lives. I wonder how many of us and what I have ever thought. But I have ever prayed, Lord, save the Japanese pilots. You see, in our day and generation, we can look around and we can see the depths of depravity. And we can see the depths of wickedness and the darkness of the sin. And even the callousness of sin in these days. And the way that men and women carry on. And they're just on that road, as it were, that fast lane. Getting as much sin into their lives and as much wickedness as possible. And going against as much of the word of God as possible. And it's just as if they want to, they put down the Bible and they say, right, there's every single rule that God has said. We're just going to tick every one of them off as we take them out of society. I wonder how many of us pray for such individuals. I wonder how many of us believe God can save such individuals. That God can have mercy and God's grace is powerful enough that even though their sin is abounding, God's grace can yet more abound. And bring even the vilest offender who truly believes that God can bring them onto himself. His grace, remember, is sufficient. God's grace is still sufficient to save sinners today out of their sins. That was the path of Fushida. I want to consider with you, secondly, the preservation of Fushida. You know, it's wonderful whenever you can look at an individual and you can see God's mercy in preserving a life until the point of their conversion. That was the case time and again for Fushida. The battles of Java, Fushida was shot down in the Borneo jungle. And there in his plane, it was a crash. Whenever that plane came in and crashed into the jungle, it instantly killed his radio operator. Killed him instantly. Yet Fushida walked out of the plane unharmed. Not even a scratch. Then in June 1942 was the Great Battle of Midway. It was one of the great and the key battles of all of World War II. It was a very intense and a very costly battle. Heavy casualties, and ultimately turned the war in the U.S. favor. Well, Fushida at that time was lying in a sickbed on board the great aircraft carrier, the Akagi. He had had appendicitis and he had to have an operation for it. And as that battle started, he was fuming with himself. He was so angry with himself for being sick and not being able to take to his plane and go up and help his fellow comrades. And he's lying there in that sick bed, and he heard all of the noise and all of the commotion. And he said to himself, no, I'm not lying here in this bed. And he struggled out of the bed and he went up onto the platform. He went up to get right up onto the area where all of the men were taking off in their planes. And he just stood out and he waved to them. And then as the battles commenced, and he just wanted to encourage his fellow soldiers, and he waved to them, and then those that were arming and manning the guns on board the aircraft carrier, he shouted encouragement to them. You know, that great ship was one of the flagships of the Japanese Navy, was destroyed that day. And if God hadn't have spurred him and got him to get out of his bed and to go up onto the platform, the sick bay would have been his coffin, because everyone else in the sick bay that day died. And the sea would have been his grave. But because he went up onto the platform, whenever the bomb came and hit the Akagi, it blew up and it sent him spiraling out, and he broke his legs, but he was saved, he was spared. God spared him again. Then the 5th of August 1945, he was at a conference in Hiroshima. By this stage, he was now the commander of all of the air operations of the Japanese combined fleet. He was in Hiroshima on the 5th of August, and unexpectedly he received a telegram. He received an order, you must leave Hiroshima and go to another air base. So at 5 p.m. on the 5th of August, he flew out of Hiroshima. Next morning, the 6th of August, at 8:15, the American dropped the atomic bomb in Hiroshima, which killed, and they estimate, at least 140,000 people. But Fushida wasn't there. He came back in the days following. He was sent back to observe and to see what was the devastation. He walked through Hiroshima, and remember, an atomic bomb, it's nuclear, and all of the radiation. He walked through Hiroshima, no protective or preventative clothing at all. He walked through with 70 other individuals, and nearly every single one of those 70 individuals died from radiation exposure. Fushida was spared with not a problem. You see, God preserved his life time and again, even through the midst of battle. Even though he was completely against God, yet God had already set his love upon him. And that while he was yet a sinner, Christ had died for him. And even that prayer that the Lord offered in the high priestly prayer of John 17:24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. God preserved Fushida until that moment in time when God opened up his heart and God spoke those words of life into him and God brought him on to himself. Now, if Fashida had have died at any point during World War II, where was he heading? He was heading straight to a Christless eternity. He was heading to hell. But you see, everyone that Christ has died for will be saved. Regardless of what kind of life they live, regardless of how they put themselves even in those places of danger and whatever they get up to in their life, if God's love is set upon them, God will spare them and protect them until he opens their heart. Isn't that the case with the Philippian jailer in Acts 16? That great earthquake shook and took off the entire doors there in the prison, and yet not one person was harmed, and the Philippian jailer was able to come in and fall upon his knees before Paul and Silas and utter those words, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You think back this morning over your life. Unsaved, you think back of the close encounters you've had. You think back to the near misses. You think back to those hairy moments, those accidents, that if you had have been 1 second earlier or 1 second later, or it had have been that mark had have come and hit you 1 inch higher or 1 inch lower, even 1 centimeter, you think what the outcome could have been. But yet God spared you. And God kept you. So that by the grace of God, you are here today. Even though, like Fashida, you don't love him. And even though, like Fashida, you don't serve him. But yet, he wants you. He's watched over you. He's preserved you. That you might hear the words today, and you might hear that now, today, here, is the accepted time. And now, here is the day of your salvation. Oh, that today would be the day of your salvation. Oh, that today would be the day that you come and you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you behold the matchless grace of God and the love of Christ for you. I think thirdly as well of the patience towards Fashida. You know, Fashida was there on board the USS Missouri. The Japanese surrendered it, which ended World War II. He was standing up in the gangway just above where he looked down, and he saw those officials that were there, and he saw them as they signed the surrender papers. He thought of all that had happened to him during the war. They realized that out of 7 commanders, 32 squadron leaders that began and were there at the beginning of World War II for the Japanese, he was the only one that was still alive. Out of all of the squadron leaders, all of those that he trained with, all of those that came through, all of those in places of command, he was the only one that was still standing. He started to search and he started to think within himself and he started to wonder. God was starting to work in his heart. He started to wonder why. Why am I still here? How is it possible that out of all of the great, and he, no doubt there were others, were great leaders, great military men, and yet he looked around and he says, every single one of them's gone, but I'm here. Why? But you know, the more that he thought about it, and this is of course what happens every time, the more that God starts to work in you, the more the devil fights back. The more that you start to think about the things of God, and you start to think about, oh, maybe there is a God. Maybe God's in control of things, and maybe God's watched over me to this point. The devil fights, and the devil fights, and the devil fights. It's a battle inside you to try and see who's going to win. It was not the case for the Apostle Paul. He came into contact with Stephen, and yes, Stephen was martyred, Stephen was put to death, but that had such an impact upon the Apostle Paul whenever he was Saul of Tarsus, and he saw a man completely in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even there, as he lay, as they stoned him to death, he's crying, "Father, forgive them." But yet, what did Saul of Tarsus do? He got angrier. And he got more bitter. And even whenever the Lord stopped him in his tracks in the road to Damascus, what was the words that were said? "Why kick ye against the pricks? Why are you fighting?" No, for Fashida, as he started to ponder on these things, as I say, the devil fought back to keep him. And after the war, he became very bitter. He drank excessively, became immoral in his life. It almost wrecked his marriage. Absolutely no concern or thought. All he wanted was just to be filled with alcohol, to take his mind off everything. The devil was fighting and fighting. But remember the words of Romans 5, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. You see, the Lord in providence brought Fashida into contact with returning Japanese POWs. Those that had been taken and held in camps by the Americans and by the British. And every time they came back, as another company of them came back, he always asked them, "How were you treated?" Now, if you know anything about the history of World War II, you'll know the Japanese were horrendous and their treatment of Americans, Australians, and all of the Allied troops. They were unbelievable. And he asked the Japanese, he says, "How were you treated?" And everyone that came back, "Very well." And then he started to hear about this young lady named Peggy Koval. And Peggy Koval cared voluntarily for them. She wasn't a nurse. She wasn't conscripted. She went along to the Japanese POW camps, those where the Japanese were held, and she started to care for them, whatever their needs were, whether they would be medical or even just giving them food. She cared for them. But here was the interesting thing. The Japanese had tortured and killed her parents. They were missionaries. But she forgave them. And she cared for the Japanese. Fashida couldn't get his head around this. Why was she so kind? Why was she so important, or giving so much importance to watching over them? Then he heard about another man, 1948. He read about an American POW, Jacob DeShazer. And he had been shot down by the Japanese, arrested by the Japanese, and he had been tortured by them. Awful brutality. And yet he read in a book, 1948, which DeShazer had wrote, and he says, "I forgive them." And he met with many of the Japanese camp guards that actually hit him, beat him, starved him. And he said to their face, "I forgive you." And Fashida, again, he just couldn't understand this. And whenever he read those words of DeShazer, DeShazer also quoted from the scriptures. And Fashida then says, "I must get myself a Bible." Just based on what he had read and what he had heard from these two individuals, he says, "I must get myself a Bible." Child of God, never underestimate what your life shows forth. A young lady who lost her two parents showed grace, kindness, mercy, forgiveness. And that spoke to Japanese in the darkness of their sins. And to Shazer as well. Remember this, your life's a testimony. Your life's a book. It doesn't matter how hard or how rude people can be towards you. They will read you and they will see your grace if you shine it forth. Fashida got that little book, just a small copy of the New Testament. Came to the words of Luke 23 in the verse 34, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He came to the cross. He read of Christ. And as he read those words of Christ, and of course all of that up to it, all of the beating that Christ endured, the scourging that Christ endured, all of the torture, the treatment, those crown of thorns piercing through his brow, and yet they nailed him to the cross. And what did Christ say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And in that moment he realized, that's Christ. That's what I've seen and heard about in Peggy Koval. Peggy Koval has Christ. Jacob de Schizer has Christ. On the 14th of April, 1950, Michio Fushida, the main pilot from Pearl Harbor, he met Christ at the foot of the cross. He would write of that occasion, and he said this, right at that moment when I read that prayer of Christ, I understood the meaning of his death as a substitute for my wickedness. And so I asked him to forgive my sins and to change me. And that day I became a new person by the intervention of Christ, saved by grace alone. That was his plea. For Jesus had died for sinful men. Fushida could say, Jesus died for me. Didn't matter his past. And all of the wicked actions. The lives he took. Grace yet more abounded. He was declared righteous. The chief of sinners was now in sweet communion with his Savior in heaven. Then he became a preacher. Very quickly, I just want to highlight a couple of things of the preaching of Fushida. He started to live for the Lord after he was saved. He started to serve him. Gave up alcohol completely. He gave up smoking completely. His testimony before his family changed completely. Now he was a husband. Now he was a father. And even though his wife was a Buddhist, yet she noticed this man has now is completely transformed and completely changed. And one by one, his family came to Christ. He experienced saving grace. He experienced sanctifying grace. He also experienced serving grace. Over time, he believed God was calling him to be a minister. And so he went and he trained. He started to preach. He was only a small preacher, as it were. But yet that mission, that ministry, was greatly blessed of God. But it wasn't without temptation. You see, in two different occasions, as he started to serve the Lord as a minister, he was tempted by his government, by two very high-profile jobs. He was offered chief of staff in Japan's new self-defense air force in 1952. And then in 1957, he was offered the role in the government of Minister of Defense. Could have been right up at the very top of government. And I have no doubt, and he said it himself, it was tempting. But he said, I can best serve Japan if I preach the gospel. He preached all over the world. He even returned and preached in Pearl Harbor on different occasions. He died at the age of 73, 1976. That man whom I mentioned earlier, Jacob de Schizer, those two had met and become very good friends. De Schizer, upon hearing of his death, he said, through the grace of God alone, this pilgrim has reached his ultimate destination. See, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. A Japanese lead bomber pilot, in the darkness the wickedness of his heart, never hearing the gospel, never being brought up in the things of God. And yet God reached down and saved him. See, there's not one in this building or listening online today, there's not one beyond the salvation of the Lord. Child of God today, there's not one of your family that God can't save. Never simply say, oh, they've gone too far, it's gone too long. Never give up hope. Unsaved here today, let me say this to you. God has preserved you. God has kept you. God has preserved and spared your life to this very moment. That common grace has been there. Will you not come today and experience His saving grace? That unmerited favor, we can't say, why would God save any of us? There's nothing in special or good within me or within you. And I say that respectfully to each one of you. There's nothing that you can hand up and say, this is why God would save me. None of us. But yet God does save. And God will save. That gift is there, the free offer of salvation. Will you take it? Will you take it even now? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee for the grace of God. We can sing those words of John Newton, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And oh Father, we thank Thee that that grace of God is still there today. And that power of grace is still there today. Oh, that Thou wilt speak. That Thou wilt open up hearts. That Thou wilt draw men and women, boys and girls, unto Thyself. Oh, have mercy, I pray Thee. Even now, as this service comes to an end, I pray that the Spirit will continue to work. Lord, we realize the devil never gives up an individual. Never gives them up willingly or easily. But, oh Father, that Christ will have the victory in hearts today. Lord, be with us now and bless us and separate us. Watch over us and bring us again tonight, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name.